Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Amen. Well, good evening, Faith Bible Chapel congregation. Good to see everybody tonight. Thank God for you coming out tonight. And I'm glad to be here. We've been traveling and a time of breaking away from everything, which is always good. And but it's a great honor to be here tonight. And thank you, Pastor George and this church, for helping us, supporting us in the endeavors of the kingdom, which now are becoming greater and greater, and we thank God for that. I'll be sharing in missions class on Sunday about some of those things, but I want to share something with you tonight, 1 Kings chapter 10, and a difficult word, but I'm asking the Holy Spirit to make it palatable to our spirits and to our hearts. But I think it's a timely word, and actually it's a word God gave me in a hotel, in a motel in Atlanta years ago when I was there finishing up my doctoral studies and ready to graduate, and the Lord exploded this truth in my heart and gave it to me at that time, and I think I've ministered it a few times over the years, but in the last week and a half, the Lord just kind of resurrected it in my heart and spirit, and so I want to share it with you tonight. And so 1 Kings 10, 1 to 13, Father, we just ask for the Holy Spirit to teach and preach through us. We ask that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask that this word comes into good soil. I bind all the works of Satan, all of his hindrances and all of his activities away from this word and away from the hearts of these people, that it will be sown deep within them. Lord, that we'll have ears to hear, and may these words sink deep within our ears, O God, and guide us for these days that are to come, tumultuous times and troublesome times and menacing times and difficult times, but thank God for Jesus and the Holy Ghost and the Word and our salvation. So, Father, we praise you tonight and love you. In Jesus' name, thank you for your help. Everyone said,
Amen.
1 Kings 10, and beginning with verse 1. Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with the camels that bore spices, very much gold, precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke to him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions, and there was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord God has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." I think we'll stop there. This is the story of a queen who hears incredible things about a man of God that caused her to travel 2.5 months on a humpback camel through the sun and the sand of the desert to see if what she heard about this man was true. Nobody could have this much wealth and wisdom and ways. And nobody could do so many things that he's done. And such was the comments of the caravans that would come to her over and over. And I believe that this Old Testament passage billboards our age with laser accuracy and shocking relevance. Our age is full of Shebas who want to know how credible are we as Christians. When integrity is a lost word, when character is a lost quality, do we really portray biblical qualities? Are we trustworthy and dependable? Is our relationship with Jesus a lifestyle? Is 2 Corinthians 2:17 an operative in our life? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. New attitudes, new desires, new hungers for the things of God. And a world should be growing strangely dim. Something incredible happens when you receive Jesus as your Savior and the Lord of your life, and he becomes the core of your Christian life, and it becomes more divine than what used to be devil. And if it hasn't happened, then I suggest you take another trip back to the work of the cross that we've been singing about and the ensuing resurrection, and make sure that you know him. Don't be like the man who answered an invitation I gave a month or two ago, and a group of people came to be saved. And afterwards, he came up to me and he said, 8 years ago, I was saved in my head, but this morning I have been saved in my heart. How many of you know there is a difference? Some of the great leaders of the first great awakening in America were all saved in their heads to begin with. Whitfield and the Wesley boys. And they fasted and prayed and did all of the good things of God and all of the religious things of God, but it was only an intellectual salvation until they realized, after spending time with the Moravians who had true faith and the true works of God, and when they heard about the Moravians and they studied with them and they prayed with them, they were taken back and smitten by the fact that they really were not truly born again. And being truly born again means that everything, just not some things, but everything truly and radically changes. So the gift of righteousness demands a righteous lifestyle for the righteously redeemed. Could I have an amen on that? Paul told Timothy, let those who are named by the name of the Lord depart from sin. There is a thing called sin, and it's taking America out of world prominence, and it's not rocket science to know that we are sinning our way to destruction and devastation, leaving a moral rot stinking society. It doesn't take much to figure that out if you're truly a born-again, Jesus lifestyle, loving, living person. And so this requires a new biblical worldview that dominates all that we are, all that we think or do, and everything else we do that matters. We're in a day and an age when nothing we do and anything we do, that it does not matter. Everything matters today. We are in such an hour that everything we do or are or be matters to the Father and matters to society and matters to the Shebas, who really wonder, are we really who we say we are? So that when Sheba comes to check us out, we will truly realize, and they will realize, that we are the sole possession and property of Jesus Christ. Only 50% of American Christians try to share their faith with only one lost person one time a year. Think about that. having Jesus, we should love to talk about him. I would think so. And I'm sure you do. But only 15% of Christians are being discipled, and only 2% of American Christians are discipling someone else, and that flies in the face of Matthew 28, 19, and 20, when we are to be a discipling nation, a discipling body, a discipling believer, and a discipling entity in the kingdom of God. So, I have a sobering thought. Is my story and my faith in God the kind that somebody would travel great distances to check out? I have to ask myself that. Is the report of my Christian witness that solid and sure? Am I a real follower of Jesus, or am I just a fan? Mark it down. Sheba is coming, and when Sheba comes, what will she find? Well, in the text that we've just read, we read several things that Sheba found out when she came all of that great distance to check out Solomon to see if everything she heard was really true. Number one, Sheba came because of what she heard. She heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Now, there were divine rumors abounding in her land. The talk of the tents was about that man miles away and all that he had done, and he was just unbelievable with wisdom and wealth and the ways that he accomplished everything he did. As I was reading this, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that if we will give God something to work with, he will start divine rumors about us to others. Amen. But I think many times we don't give God enough to work with so that he can do anything. But I'll tell you, there's some divine rumors that God wants to bring on the scene in America to overcome all of the devilish rumors that are abounding in the land of America. And so people will hear about what you have if you have it. Amen? Amen. We can say amen, okay? It's going to be okay. But take careful notice. She heard about the fame of Solomon in relation to the name of the Lord. And that's how God sped his fame, because of his relationship to him. Literally, it means that his fame was concerning the name of the Lord. Literally, all that he had or did or was because of his relationship to God, and he was bringing honor to God because of his relationship to God. And we know this, everything flows out of our relationship to Jesus. Amen? Everything flows out of our relationship to this old rugged cross salvation that we sang about. Everything flows out of that moment when you made that decision and I made that decision 44 and a half years ago. Everything in my life has come out of that one moment, divine moment and event in the ensuing lordship of Christ in my life. And that's when things really begin to happen, when they can see us in relationship to our God and our Savior and our salvation, then they are going to come to us wanting what we have. And that's really what the Queen of Sheba wanted. She didn't want more money. She was a billionaire upon billionaires herself. She wasn't just coming to see what she heard. Deep down in her heart, which she didn't know, there was something in Solomon that she didn't have, and somehow she had to get near him so that she could get what he had. It makes sense, doesn't it? And I think it's implied within the text there. And so Solomon answered all her questions and explained everything to her. And I think one translation says that he answered questions she didn't even ask. Now, that's when it gets good. Amen? It's those unasked questions in the hearts of people that we need to pull out and give them answers which they don't even know that they need. Her wisdom was different than her wisdom people. You see, when the favor of God and the grace of God is upon your life, and when people are attracted to you because of your Jesus and your love with God and your love with the Word and not with just giftings and talents and flesh and all of those things, when they're attracted to us because of our relationship to the Lord, that's when things really have an impact and really have an influence on their life. Where are the Daniels of God who can make the kings of this world declare, there is no God like Daniel's God? Where are the saints of God who cause the world to know that we have been with Jesus? Where are the people of God who can make the lost people say, they are turning the world upside down? Not in a political convention tonight, who intentionally has thumbed their nose at God. That's dangerous. That's one thing in sin, and that's not good. But it's another thing when you throw God out to a whole nation, and not to mention his name or even the name of Jerusalem, that we believe to be the capital of Israel and the capital of the world. That one thing in itself will bring great difficulty to America if we do not take the right path. So she came because of what she heard. Number two, she came to test and prove to him and to see if it was true. And so she comes to him with the hard questions we mentioned. Now, she was no pauper. As she comes, she's bringing $3.5 million worth of spices, precious stones. And the scripture says later on in the text, there had never been such gifts ever given to Solomon. But you see, she had the stuff, but the stuff was not enough. And all your stuff without intimacy with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit will never be enough. I don't care how much stuff you get, it's not enough if you don't have intimacy with God and the living God. And Solomon had something she didn't. He had the true God and the living God. And deep down inside of her, unbeknownst to her, that's really why she was taking that journey. Haven't you taken journeys when you didn't know deep down inside what they were all about and what the outcome was going to be? And then finally when you got there, you found out what it was all about. I don't know about you, but I've been there. Amen. Not sure where I was going. It's just you, Lord, and all those things. And that happens to all of us. But she comes looking and proving and probing and asking questions. And he explains them to her. And there's a statement here that says that she told him all that was in her heart. Well, if you were before the wisest king on the face of the earth and the wealthiest and had done everything, you might tell that person all of your heart too. And he listened to her and he emptied her heart. And there really wasn't anything there, but he drew out of her and released back into her what she needed. Wise is the person who can discern the heart of an individual and draw that out of them and then release back into them, to discern and to draw and then to dispense back into that person's life and heart the things of God. That's a wise person. This is an hour when we must open their hearts. I don't care who they are, and listen and quit condemning and throwing stones and all of the things that so many Christians are doing. We need to begin to listen to people. I don't care who they are, what agenda they're in. We need to listen to them and open their hearts so that we can release back into them the wisdom of God and the favor and the grace of God that lives inside of you and lives inside of me will draw them to us. Amen. It'll draw them to you. Amen. That's how God's grace and favor is in working in our lives. And the grace of God will draw them to you. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up, not us, what we've accomplished, or who we think we are, Jesus. Well, you know, that begs the question, then why has the world not been reached? Who are we lifting up? Man, society, empires, kingdoms, individualities, celebrities, who are we lifting up? And then we wonder why the job isn't getting done. Well, it could just be that every born-again believer, truly born-again believer, is not, we're not lifting Jesus up like we need to, because he said, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so I have to examine my heart. Who am I lifting up? It's a great time for examination. And so in the 2.5 months on her way to come to Solomon, I can just see her head, her brains moving and ticking, you know, and thoughts. I got asking this question, and you know, and she's probably wondering, you know, I've heard this about him and I've heard that. He must be on steroids, you know. Or he must be devious. Or surely he's got some hidden secrets. But I want to tell you here tonight, thousands of years later, that trip going to the queen, the trip going to Solomon was worth the treasure that she got from Solomon. And I'm not talking about all the stuff he gave to her and all the stuff she gave to him. I'm talking about something better. She found a God who was worth worshiping and serving, and she found out why it was that Solomon was where he was at, and it wasn't his abilities. It was the wisdom that came from Almighty God. He was the wisest man on the face of the earth until Jesus came. So her trip was worth the treasure. Make their trip worth the treasure. Amen? Amen. I mean, make their trip worth it. And study and pray and fast and live and love the lifestyle like Jesus, and it will quench their thirst. I believe in a third great awakening. I've studied the first one and the second one, and I believe there can come. I don't believe there can come. I believe there will come another awakening, a third great awakening for this land and all over the world. I believe that. Why believe all the other stuff? Why give the devil credit? Hey, listen, this world has better chances with Almighty God than it does with the prophecies of the devil. Many times Christians are sucked right into that too, and talking like everybody else is talking. Let's talk like God would have us talk, and talk like this word. There is a hope. We can give answers because of the hope that is inside of us. I want to encourage you tonight that the third awakening, that God is not through with America on the basis that we export still missionaries to the world, and on the basis that we still at this point love and protect and would want to stay with Israel. Two reasons. There's all kinds of signs out there. Everybody's got their best shot. I'm reading the books. You're reading the books. There's all kinds of thinking, but it boils down to about three things. How we treat the nation of Israel, and are we going to win souls, and are we going to disciple them? And so much will be determined. So we got to be on top of our spiritual game. Amen? Now, probably Sunday evening, Peyton Manning will probably be on top of his football game. He better be. Oh, he better be. You know what I mean. But I'm saying, Sunday evening or any other evening, we better be. How much more we better be on top of our spiritual game, because of that which is weighed and we're found wanting and in the balances, we need to be on top of our game. Third thing that Sheba found with Solomon, she came to see if it was true. She heard. And the scriptures tell us that that she saw his wisdom and his wealth and his works and the wine and food on his tables and the way that his house was built. She noticed the way that he ascended to the throne. New King James says entryway, I believe. I think the old King James says ascended, or some others. But it's the way that when he walked in, and when Solomon, who was at that time wisest and greatest man of God on the face of the earth at that time, and the way he came in, and the regalia of a God-given sense of righteousness that was released to him from his father, and the way he ascended to the throne, that word is the idea of a holy sacrifice or a burnt offering. It was the idea that Solomon took his relationship to God very seriously, and there was no playing around with it, and there was no foolishness with it, and there was not a lot of the stuff that we see today around this land, the foolishness, you know, the way he came. I'm almost afraid to use the word, and I don't think a word, but it represents peoples who are martyred at the stake. It's the same kind of a word, who are burned and their life is exterminated at the stake. The martyrs is a picture of this. As he came up in such a seriousness that there were many times that he offered hundreds of thousands of animals on the altar. And it's the idea that when she saw that, she was taken back. It wasn't like the foolishness of the dog and pony shows we see with some religious programming and in some churches across America. Hello. It's that idea. She was so overwhelmed and so astonished. There was something that so caught her heart. There was something that so convicted her. There was something that so moved on the inside of her. And her head was spinning, and she was breathless. And this is not in the scripture, but I think she just fainted. Not by the power of the Spirit, but maybe it was, you know. But she was so overwhelmed. She was in a sense of shock and awe at the pageantry and at the glory of God that was in Solomon and in him, because he was keeping the ways of his father David, and he was walking in righteousness, and he was keeping the commandments, because it flowed out of his relationship to God. And so there was this sense of awe. Boy, my heart prays that we can capture that. I could capture just a little bit of that shock and awe that came to this embedded reporter as she copied down everything he told her. And you know, I wouldn't it be wonderful that when a reporter on CNN or Fox would interview some Christian leader, and the power of God and the soberness of God was, there's no tricky, cute answers, but the power of God just caused their jaw to start to quiver and their knees start to knock. Well, I mean, you know, wouldn't that be something to see a reporter's knees knocking like Nebuchadnezzar's knees, you know, and their jaws quivering and they're not being able to talk because of the presence of God would come because of somebody who carried the mantle and the glory and the anointing of God upon their life and all the foolishness was cut away. People didn't have to go through all of the junk that's surrounding religious world today, and they would get in the presence of something that would shock them and awe them. Oh, I pray for that kind of a thing. I desire that kind of a thing. She saw this house that was in order. Solomon's house was in order, at least at that time. It was in order. And so many places and so many places of worship and churches and places and organizations, things are out of order and they're out of sync. Is the Word of God on your tables? Are your glasses splashing over with Holy Ghost wine? I hear of lots of wine splashing today, but I'm afraid it's not the new wine. Hello. Hello. It's like she is saying, "You have restored my faith in God." God needs some faith restorers today. Amen? We've got to restore faith to others. And I think that's what she's thinking. But that's not all. That's not all she's saying. Three times she uses the word happy. Happy are your men. Happy are your servants. Happy are those who are in your house. You know, it'd just be good to see some deliriously happy believers. In fact, even God is happy. Amen. She says, even your God delights in you. And see, you know, when we make God happy, how many of y'all know that's a good thing to do? That's a good thing to do, is to bring happiness. She said, blessed is the Lord God who set you on the throne of Israel because he loves Israel forever. He's made you to be king to do justice and righteousness. And all of a sudden, Sheba has connected the dots. All of a sudden, this is about the God of Israel and his relationship to his name, and the theologians call this is her conversion. There's a conversion taking place, an awareness of revelation. Something was happening in her hearts. And the bottom line is for all Shebas who come to see what we have, to test what we have, to see, is it real? And may this be the good report for all of the Shebas who are coming to see. You know, instead of Shebas reporting on all of the filth that's going on in Christianity and that which is allowed to remain, and nobody does anything about it. Praise God for those who are not scandal-ridden. Amen? Praise God for those who borne the heat of the day, tried in the fire, pure gold, lived in integrity. People need to see that we're healthy and happy and secure and safe. And then as she sees all of this, it's amazing that it's not in the notes, but I've got a couple things here I've jotted down. She gives to Solomon. She just starts giving to him again. She just pours out all of these riches and wood and all of these things he's going to put in his house. And I mean, she just does all of this thing. I'll never forget when we were pastoring in Athens, Texas, and we had a project going on. It was a $10,000 project. And we had some people that were coming to church from the lake. And they were rich and they were lost. But they love coming to New Life Church. And it's because of my wife, by the way. But they just love coming. And so one night, about 10:30 at night, Len and I get a phone call. And it's from these people. And they've been, you know, drinking. And they were happy. And they were feeling good. And they said, please come to our house. They had a party going on. So I said, Lana, let's go. And so we go out there, and it's about a 30-minute drive. And we get there, and, you know, they're in full swing. But these people liked us. And here he is, this rich guy, precious people, beautiful family and all their friends. He said, preacher, he says, I'm going to take care of that project for you. And he wrote me out a check for $10,000. I mean, you know, I don't know how this transfer of wealth is going to come, but I'll tell you what, when people see that we have the real deal and we can give them Jesus and it can save their life and heal their bodies and set them free and make them prosperous, when they see that, they're going to open up those kingdoms of darkness and they'll become kingdoms of light for the kingdom of light. Amen. You see, number four, she makes an incredible statement. She says, the half has not even been told me. Now, that's a brain twister. She said, I've come, I've seen all of this, I've felt all this, I've experienced this. She didn't say this, but in her heart, I'm thinking, you know, she's received the same God that Solomon had, and we can't prove that with the scripture, but, you know, just put that on a shelf if you don't want it. But anyway, yeah, all of a sudden she says, the half has not even been told to me, and I'm thinking that revelation is starting to come into this Queen of Sheba, that she came here and there was something beyond his works and wisdom. She saw something beyond the natural eye. She saw something that transcends all of the surface things where so many people live. And she felt something more than just a good time, but she was looking now beyond the kingdom of Solomon, and she saw the reality of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Boy, that's where we got to come to. And she saw that. You see, there's something beyond our best sung song. There is something beyond our best prayed prayer. There is something beyond our best spoken message. There's something beyond our best good deed done. There's something beyond all of the dog and pony shows that mark the landscape in America. Beyond all of that, there is the greater one. Amen. There's a greater one. And that's what they must see and feel. Jesus said, Jonah was great, but a greater one than Jonah is here. Solomon was great, but a greater than Solomon is here. The temple was great, but there's a greater one than the temple. It's not our doing that will attract the Shebas. It's our being that will attract them as to what we are. Where the pure righteousness of Jesus is lived out and through us. The half has never yet been told. Man, I would love to have been with her and her group of people as she was going home. I tell you what, going home was a whole lot better than coming. Amen? The trip home was a whole lot better. I mean, she unloaded a lot of treasure, and Solomon loaded up her with a lot of treasure. But the treasure that she took back home was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was the God and Father of Jesus, and the God and Father of all of us. I declare she went home with her. The trip was worth the treasure. Now, I know she'd been shaking her heads, and thoughts are running, and God's dealings, and a lot of things are changing her life, and she's left with the residual after effects of his testimony. We need to leave people shaking their heads with spiritual residuals that will continue to work in their life. What is your other half? I'm not talking about your wife or your husband. Well, what is your other half? You've served God all these years. You've done these things. God's been good to you, and that's good. But I think it's more important that we're good to God. I love God is good all the time. I hear it all the time, you know. God bless America. Well, America ought to bless God. Amen. You know. And God wants us to, you know, what is the one thing that will outlive you that goes beyond what you have or you possess? What would that be, you know, as you think about that and you'll take that with you, but what is it that's going to live beyond and beyond and beyond? I think of your gifts that you've sown into Joshua Nations through Faith Bible Chapel, and now there's 83,000 students in 41 nations, 30 languages, and 4,437 schools, and God's out doing himself. And see, you're all a part of that. So after we're gone, that will go on and on and on and on and spread and spread and spread all over the world. The deeds you've done, the things you've done, the faithfulness, you know, all of those things that you've done, they will outlive you. The other half that is yet to be done, even by God, in the nations and in the churches and in America. But there are many Shebas out there. They will come. In a matter of time, they will come in many ways and many forms. They've already come in the media and have sung a sorrowful siren over many leaders and saints who have fallen. A friend could be a Sheba, a relative, a son, a daughter, a mate could be a Sheba. How about the conscience of our soul? That's a Sheba. It keeps coming, saying, you got to quit that. That's not right. That's not good. Stop it. The conscience of the soul is a Sheba. Or maybe it's a humbling experience. Boy, I don't know about you, but I'm in a humbling life right now. And God humbles me more than I want to admit. The humblings of God, you know, in allowing people the right to cross-examine our faith. How about that? Jesus did that. After he finally got in that room after he died and after the resurrection, he walked in the room and he met with all the disciples and they saw him and ate bread and honey and all that with him. And Thomas wasn't there, and they went and told Thomas, and Thomas said, I won't believe until I see the nail prints in his hand. I won't believe. So, you know, that didn't bother Jesus any. How many of y'all know there's not much that bothered Jesus, you know? A whole lot more bothers us than bothers him, truthfully. You know, so one night he comes in the room, there's Thomas, and what does he do? He goes right over to Thomas, and he said, Thomas, look at him. Look at him. Take your fist, in the Greek, and wallop me right in the side where they put that spear. Just go ahead and pow. That's what it means. And he's saying to Thomas, I am who I said I am. And are we willing to do that? Am I willing to do that? Are we really everything we're cracked up to be? Or what people are so graciously saying about us? We all go home at night with ourselves, don't we? We all go to bed and put our head on the pillows by ourselves or whatever, you know. And are we willing to do that? You know, this message is just at you, and I hope it's not coming at you. I hope it's not coming in that way, but I believe it is a word for God for this hour, for all of us, for me, in my house, as well as you. What will your Sheba look like? Where will she come? Or he come? Or they come? And when Sheba comes, will we have the spiritual goods? Are we on top of her game? Let's all just stand together. And I want to talk to you just a little bit more. When Sheba comes, are we found weighed in the balances and found wanting? When Sheba comes, will I really be on top of my spiritual game? Is my spiritual house in order? What do I have when Sheba comes? And when our names are mentioned, what do people think? What does God think? Sheba will come. Now, this is a message that can be very disturbing, can be very upsetting, or it's a message that can open all of our eyes to every area of our life that needs God's attention right now. Not when we leave here, not tomorrow. Well, I'm going to deal with this tomorrow night. Tomorrow night will never come. It'll never come. It will never come. But something happens, as you've heard before, when we come to the altar and bring ourselves. And that's what I'm asking tonight for all of us. As you come, I'm coming. Whatever issue, whatever area, whatever it is that God has put in your mind tonight, just come and bring it here. Folks, we've got to be ready for what's coming. We've got to be ready.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.